Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving deep into something really vital for any startup that's growing fast. We're talking about achieving, near-perfect quality and efficiency, even when things feel chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine this startup, let's call them Aqua House. They made AI-powered water quality sensors.
Okay.
And they just exploded, went from 5 people to 50 in just 18 months. Revenue doubling every single quarter.
Wow, that sounds like hitting the jackpot, right? Pure Silicon Valley dream stuff.
It does sound like it, but behind the scenes of all that amazing growth, Aqua House was actually starting to, unravel.
Unravel how?
They started hitting these critical problems, things like data stream lag, network access issues that just kept popping up, and real logistical delays, especially getting things out to remote areas where the infrastructure wasn't great.
So not just minor hiccups then. These sound serious.
Oh, they were. These weren't small glitches. They led to frustrated customers. A lot of complaints, actually.
Yeah.
The team got burned out, and it ended up costing the company, get this, $150,000.
Ouch. That's serious cash for a startup.
Exactly. It almost took the whole company down.
That Aqua House story, it really drives the point home. For ages, the whole startup thing was move fast and break things. We all heard that.
Right, that was the mantra.
But that approach, it's kind of obsolete now, isn't it? Especially if you want to build something that lasts. The real winners today, they move fast and build enduring value.
That's a great way to put it. Because if you neglect the process side of things, those early shortcuts, they catch up with you. Fast.
Yeah, you see it all the time. First, it's just errors, rework, delays. Seems manageable, maybe.
But then it snowballs.
I think.
And to inconsistent quality, the team morale tanks, customer complaints pile up.
And ultimately, lost revenue. Growth slows right down. It's a vicious cycle.
So that's what this deep dive is all about. It's kind of a shortcut, really, to understanding how you build that enduring value right from the start.
Okay, so what's the plan?
Our mission today is to demystify Six Sigma, specifically for startups. Now, I know what some people might be thinking. Six Sigma. Isn't that for, giant corporations?
Yeah, it has that reputation, doesn't it? Big, maybe bureaucratic.
Exactly. But we're going to show you how incredibly powerful and adaptable it can be, even for an early stage company. Like yours, potentially.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So we're simplifying it.
We are. We'll break down the core ideas, including that famous DMAIC cycle. Define, measure, analyze, improve, control.
Right, DMAIC. Heard of it.
And we'll talk about how using it can genuinely boost reliability / the amount of rework you're doing and make your customers happier, specifically in a startup context.
So what are the key things we'll cover?
We'll get into how Six Sigma tackles variation and defects, how to use that DMAIC cycle quickly and effectively, how to find those vital few problems that cause most of the pain.
Ah, the Pareto principle thing, 80-20 rule.
Kind of, yeah. Focusing your effort. And even how to strike that tricky balance between standardizing your processes and allowing for local differences as you grow.
Okay, let's tackle that big perception first. Six Sigma. It sounds heavy, like you need tons of resources, statisticians, black belts running around.
That's the common image, definitely. Big companies, deep pockets. It can seem really daunting for a startup.
But you're saying that's a myth?
Largely, yes. Or at least, it doesn't have to be that way. Here's where it gets super interesting for startups. When you adapt it right, it gives you huge value.
Right.
Especially when you hit that scaling phase and suddenly things need to be way more consistent, way more reliable.
Okay, so adaptation is key. Let's unpack the core ideas then. What makes it different? You mentioned variation earlier.
Right, so traditional quality control often just checks if something meets the minimum spec. Like, is it good enough? Yes or no?
Okay, pass, fail.
Exactly. Six Sigma goes deeper. It relentlessly focuses on reducing variation, the inconsistency.
Why is that so critical for a startup?
Because consistent processes deliver consistent results, predictable results. Variation, that's the enemy of predictability.
Yeah.
It leads directly to wasted time, wasted materials, wasted effort, things startups absolutely cannot afford.
So less variation means more predictability, which means more sustainable growth. Makes sense.
And second big pillar, it's all about data-driven decisions. Relentlessly data-driven.
Less gut feel, more facts.
Precisely. For a startup, this isn't just like a nice to have, it's survival. It means you measure things before you jump in and start changing stuff.
Establish a baseline.
You got it. Then use data to figure out what's really going on, separating the signal from the noise, as they say. You test your ideas with, actual experiments, even small ones.
And crucially.
You verify improvements with data, too. Not just someone saying, yeah, I think it's better now. You prove it. It replaces opinions and assumptions with cold, hard facts.
That's a big cultural shift for some teams, I bet, especially the blame game avoidance.
Oh, definitely. And that links to the next point, the process perspective. It's so easy to blame individuals when things go wrong. We've all seen it.
Yeah, who dropped the ball.
Right. But Six Sigma forces you to look at the process. It says quality isn't something you bolt on at the end with inspection. It's an outcome of how well your process is designed in the first place.
So good processes make it hard to mess up.
That's the idea. Well-designed processes make errors difficult. They guide people towards the right way of doing things.
Okay, variation reduction, data-driven, process focus. What else?
The final piece, and it's crucial, is customer-defined quality. Six Sigma defines quality based on what your customer needs and values.
Not what we think is cool or high tech.
Exactly. It's about meeting or, ideally, exceeding their specific, measurable requirements. That voice of the customer becomes your guide for what improvements actually matter most.
That makes a lot of sense. It keeps you focused on what drives value for them.
Let's make it real. Think about that B2B software startup, CloudSecure. As they grew, they started seeing this explosion in security configuration errors during customer onboarding. Huge problem, right? Bad for trust, bad for business.
Yes, security errors are not good.
Not at all. So they applied these principles. They focused on reducing the variation in how configs were done. They gathered actual data on what kinds of errors were happening and how often.
They measured.
They measured. And they analyzed the process, the steps involved, not just pointing fingers. They defined quality based on what their customers needed for security.
Mm-hmm.
And they used DMAIC.
And the result.
Pretty stunning, actually. Yep. They cut those configuration errors by 87%. 87% within 60 days.
Wow. Just by applying these adapted principles.
Yep. It shows you can take this supposedly big company methodology and apply it effectively to a real pressing startup problem.
Okay, that's compelling. But back to the practicalities. Startups are lean. They move fast. Traditional Six Sigma sounds slow, resource heavy. How do you actually square that circle?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And you're right. The full-blown traditional approach can be too much.
So what's the answer for a startup?
It's what we call the Six Sigma Light approach.
Six Sigma Light. Okay, I like the sound of that. Less intimidating.
Exactly. The idea is start small, but be strategic. Pick one critical process, something that's clearly causing pain, has obvious quality issues.
Don't try to boil the ocean.
Precisely. Then apply a simplified DMAIC cycle to just that process. Use only the most basic high-impact tools and rigorously measure the results.
So like a pilot project.
Exactly like a pilot. It lets you build some capability, show some quick wins, demonstrate the value, all without overwhelming the entire company. You build momentum.
That makes sense. Build confidence, then scale it. What other adaptations are key?
Another big one is selective application. Like you said, don't try to do it everywhere at once. Be ruthless about focusing your efforts.
Where should you focus first?
Think high-impact areas. Customer-facing processes, maybe. Things that directly touch the user experience. Or revenue-critical processes, stuff that directly impacts the money coming in.
We're the ones causing the most fires.
Definitely. Those error-prone processes that cost you a fortune in rework. Or look at bottlenecks that are holding back your growth. Maybe even compliance-critical processes if you're in regulated space.
So pick your battles wisely. Concentrate resources.
You got it. Maximum value for minimum initial effort.
And the tools. You mentioned a simplified toolkit.
Yeah. You don't need the whole Six Sigma encyclopedia on day one. Start with the basics that give you the most bang for your buck.
Like that.
Things like process mapping, just drawing out how things actually work right now. It's amazing what you uncover just by visualizing it.
I can imagine, just seeing the steps laid out.
Then there's Pareto analysis that helps you find the vital few causes that are responsible for most of your problems. The 80-20 thing again.
Focus on the big hitters.
Right. The five whys technique is super simple, but powerful for digging into root causes. Just keep asking why until you get to the bottom of it.
Like a persistent toddler.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Cause and effect diagrams, sometimes called fishbone diagrams, help structure brainstorming about potential causes. And just some basic statistical analysis, averages, variation, nothing too scary.
So tools that are accessible, not requiring a PhD in statistics.
That's the aim. Get the most value with minimal complexity, especially at the start.
And you mentioned speed earlier, rapid DMAI cycles.
Critically important for startups. You can't afford to have improvement projects drag on for months and months. You need to accelerate that DMAIC cycle.
How fast are we talking?
Think days, not weeks or months for each phase, ideally. It's like, fine, maybe 1-2 days to really clarify the problem and agree on goals.
quick alignment.
Measure. Maybe 3-5 days to grab that essential baseline data, analyze. Perhaps 2-3 days to sift through it and pinpoint likely root causes.
Still moving fast.
Improve. This might take a bit longer, say 5-10 days, because you're actually implementing and testing solutions. And then control is more about ongoing monitoring, but with minimal bureaucracy.
So the whole cycle delivers improvements in weeks.
That's the goal. Weeks, not months. It's about making it fit the startup cadence. Think agile sprints for process improvement.
Okay. Let's walk through that DMA C cycle with a startup hat on, starting with define. What does that look like in practice?
All right, define. For a lean, fast team, this is about getting super clear, super fast. You need a sharp problem statement, what's wrong, and what's the measurable impact.
Quantify the pain.
Exactly. And crucially, define the scope. What's in this specific project, what's out. Keep it tight enough you can realistically finish in, say, 2-4 weeks.
Avoid scope creep.
Absolutely critical. Focus on the impact for customers and the business, not just, you know, some internal technical metric nobody cares about.
No?
Keep the documentation light, maybe a one-pager for the key stuff.
And get buy-in. Essential. Make sure leadership is aligned and connect what you're doing directly back to the company's main goals. Why does this improvement matter now?
Okay, define the problem, got the scope. Next is measure. Gathering data without getting bogged down.
Right. Measure. First, map the current process. Just understand the steps as they actually happen today.
The S.
Yep. Then identify maybe 3 to 5 really critical metrics, things that link directly to your business priorities right now. Cycle time, maybe. Process adherence. First time, right rate.
The things that really matter.
Exactly. Don't try to measure everything. Use sampling if you need to, rather than collecting every single data point. Leverage data you already have if possible. Use simple tools. Spreadsheets are often fine to start.
Keep it practical.
It's always a balance between precision and practicality. Get the baseline data you need to make informed decisions quickly.
Got it. Data collected. Now analyze. Digging for those root causes.
Analyze. Okay, now you look at the data you collected. Look for patterns, trends, outliers. What's it telling you?
Let the data speak. Combine that data analysis with the knowledge of your team. The people actually doing the work often have really valuable insights. Use those simple tools we mentioned, 5 whys, fishbone diagrams.
Focus on the vital few again.
Yes. Don't generate an exhaustive list of every possible cause under the sun. Focus on the ones that seem most likely based on the data and team experience.
And then test them.
Use quick experiments if you can to confirm those cause-effect relationships. Again, balance the need for analytical rigor with the practical constraints of time. Find the most likely culprits.
Makes sense. Identified the causes. Time for improve, implementing solutions.
Improve. Okay, now we brainstorm potential solutions to address those root causes. Select the best ones. Which ones will have the biggest impact? Which are feasible to implement quickly?
Impact versus effort.
Classic trade-off. Develop simple implementation plans. And here's a key tip for startups. Implement iteratively. Don't try to launch the perfect massive solution all at once.
Start small, learn, adjust.
Exactly. Pick the low-hanging fruit first, the simple, high-impact fixes. Maybe do a small pilot implementation to test and refine the solution before rolling it out wider.
And involve the team.
Absolutely. The people affected by the change need to be involved in designing the solution. It builds buy-in and ensures it's practical. And, of course, collect data after the change to verify it actually worked. Did the numbers improve?
Crucial step. Okay, solution implemented, verified, last phase, control, making it stick.
Control. This is all about sustainability. How do you make sure things don't just slide back to the old way?
Yeah, that happens easily.
It does. So for a startup, this means designing simple, sustainable controls, things that don't create a load of bureaucracy. Integrate monitoring into systems you already use, like your regular team meetings or dashboards.
Make it visible.
Visual controls are great for this. Simple charts or boards visible to everyone. Keep documentation minimal only. Document the critical elements people absolutely need to know for the new standard process.
Train people on the new way.
Train them, yes.
Yeah.
And maybe even have simple response plans. What do we do if we see the process deviating again? The real goal here is to build this improvement mindset into the team's daily habits.
So it becomes the new normal.
Exactly.
Okay, that DMAC breakdown really helps make it feel more manageable. But stepping back, when does doing all this really become a startup superpower? Like, what are the trigger points?
That's a great question. It really becomes a superpower when you hit certain scaling challenges related to quality.
Like what specifically?
Well, think about when the quality of work starts varying a lot between different team members. Or maybe your overall error rates are just creeping up as you handle more volume.
Inconsistency starts biting you.
Precisely. Or you start hearing more customer complaints specifically about inconsistency. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's terrible. There's a huge red flag.
Rework costs climbing.
That's another big one. If you're spending more and more time fixing mistakes, that's a direct hit to your efficiency and bottom line. Or if you've expanded to multiple locations or teams and keeping standards aligned becomes a nightmare.
So basically, when informal ways of ensuring quality just break down under growth.
That's exactly it. Six Sigma gives you the structure and the tools you need to scale quality alongside your growth without sacrificing that crucial consistency.
And you mentioned standardizing across locations. That sounds like a common headache as startups grow.
Oh, it absolutely is. Multi-location operations, whether offices or remote teams, almost inevitably create standardization challenges.
How does Six Sigma help there?
It gives you a framework. If you see performance varying wildly between locations or good ideas from one place just aren't getting adopted elsewhere.
Best practices aren't spreading.
Right. Or if delivering a consistent customer experience is proving really difficult across different regions, or even if quality standards are just being interpreted differently by different teams, Six Sigma helps you define, measure, and standardize those core processes.
But hang on, what about local needs? You can't always have a one-size-fits-all process, can you? Especially if you're in different markets or dealing with different regulations.
Excellent point. And this is where you need to find the right balance. Think of it like a spectrum.
A spectrum.
Yeah, on one end, you have full standardization. Every process is identical everywhere. On the other end, full localization. Every location does its own thing. The sweet spot is usually somewhere in between.
So how do you decide where on the spectrum a particular process should be?
You look at key factors. How critical is this process to your core offering or brand? How much do local market needs genuinely differ? What are the local regulations? How important is absolute brand consistency for this specific touch point?
So it's a judgment call based on those factors.
It's a strategic decision, process by process. Some things might need to be highly standardized, others can allow for more local flexibility. It's about being intentional.
Let's bring this to life again. You mentioned Tech Connect Solutions earlier, the SaaS company with the churn problem.
Right, Tech Connect, they were in serious trouble. 47% customer churn, 47%, mostly due to terrible support.
That's unsustainable.
Totally.
Yeah.
Their average response time was 22 minutes, and the service quality was all over the place. They tried throwing more people at it, but it didn't work.
Because the underlying process was broken.
Exactly. So they combined lean techniques like process mapping, which revealed, incredibly, that 64% of their support activities added no value for the customer.
Wow, two-thirds wasted effort.
Yeah. And then they used Six Sigma analysis to pinpoint the factors really driving that customer dissatisfaction and inconsistency.
And the outcome.
Transformative is the only word. Response time dropped 89% from 22 minutes down to just 2.4 minutes.
Huge improvement.
Customer churn fell by 68% from that scary 47% down to 15%. Customer satisfaction shot up to 91%. And maybe just as important, agent turnover people quitting a support team dropped by 78%.
Because the job became less frustrating, presumably.
Exactly. They fixed the process, which fixed the experience for both customers and employees. It's a powerful case for process before technology and making data-driven decisions.
It really shows it's not always about needing fancier tools, but fixing the fundamentals.
Absolutely. And briefly, another example, Global Freight Logistics. Struggling with only 77% on-time delivery, operations were fragmented. They used Six Sigma quality principles to tackle that variability and inconsistency. They got their on-time delivery rate up to 97%. Again, a massive operational gain by focusing on process quality.
Okay, these examples really hammer home the potential impact. So for everyone listening,
No.
what's the single most important immediate next step they can take away from this deep dive?
Great question. If you're sitting there thinking, okay, I know we have this one process that's just plagued with errors.
We all have one of those, probably.
Right. The actionable takeaway is this: start small, define that problem clearly, what is it specifically, and then identify just one key metric you can use to measure its current state. How bad is it right now?
Just those first two steps, define and measure.
That's your first tangible step into applying DMAIC. Don't try to do everything at once. Think minimum viable deliverable for each phase. What's the simplest thing you can do in just FAME? Define to move to measure. What's the simplest data you need in measure to move to analyze? Just get started.
Define the problem, measure it. Simple first step.
It really is. And remember that process-first advantage idea. When you build that foundation of process excellence, it enables everything else.
No, so.
Well, good processes make it easier to transfer knowledge effectively. That supports higher quality. Higher quality and better processes enable speed. And all of that together, knowledge, quality, speed, that's what fuels real sustainable innovation.
So process isn't the opposite of innovation, it actually enables it.
It's the foundation for it. It gives you the stability and efficiency you need to be innovative effectively.
Okay, that ties it all together nicely. So a final thought to leave everyone mulling over.
Yeah, let's go back to that idea of shifting the startup narrative.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Bakari talks about moving from move fast and break things to move fast and build things that last.
Right, enduring value.
So here's the provocative thought. How might truly embracing a data-driven, quality-focused approach like Six Sigma, even the light version, not just fix your immediate operational headaches, but fundamentally change the entire trajectory of your startup?
Moving beyond just firefighting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How could it help you build truly enduring value, create a sustainable competitive advantage in a world that seems to be rewarding consistency and reliability more and more? Something to think about.